And welcome back to Coast. We've got open lines for you this hour, and also we're tracking the Occupy Los Angeles story. And so far, police have now stepped in. They're making some arrests, but for things that I see and hear, things so far seem to be pretty peaceful so far. But, well, we'll find out. We'll keep our eyes on that. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Here we go with an hour of open lines for you. I should say, by the way, our special guest tomorrow on Coast to Coast will be none other than science advisor and head of the Enterprise mission, Richard C. Hoagland. We're going to be talking about that Russian satellite, that spacecraft that was supposed to head for one of Mars's moons. I don't know if they got anything going there yet. I just don't think it's going to happen. Richard will be updating us about that and a number of other stories as well. We'll even chat with him about the face on Mars. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Hesperia, California first. George is with us on Coast to Coast. Good morning, George. Welcome to the program.
Great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
George, I sure feel the urgency of these protesters, that we the people really need to start reinforcing the protesters that are already there, because this government, these politicians are just running this country. They're looting this country as fast as they possibly can. $7.7 trillion now. What's next? Gazillion dollars? I mean, it's just off the hook, and I can't stress to we the people, we need to get out there and really start putting this action in action. The inaction is just, it's going to be detrimental later down the road, because as Alex Jones reported, this National Defense Act that they're trying to put through is just going to devastate us.
Oh, that's crazy, and that would allow the military to step in and arrest without charges, without anything.
And this is real. I've talked to Mr. Boehner's office today. I've talked to all my senators today, and they're downplaying it. They're telling me, oh, well, that's not what it is. But, you know, we've been lied to, and we've been lied to again and again and again. And I myself, I'm 50 years old, but I'm heading down there to L.A. or Orange County, one of the two, and I'm going to start protesting also. You know, once they redevelop some lines, I want to be there, because that's how important it is. We really need to get out there.
Well, George, let me ask you, though. There's one thing about protest, which I think is very healthy in a society, but then there's another thing of, you know, civil unrest and disturbance, you know, pitching tents, blocking things. I think it gets out of hand when they start doing that. Don't you?
I do, in the sense that there is a lot of misdirected protesting going on, or supervised, or what's the word I'm looking for?
It's not very organized.
Right. And there's so many different issues, everything from fluoride in the drinking water to heavy metals in these chemtrails, which is going on extremely intensely here in Hesperia the last week or so. Day and night, we're being sprayed. And, you know, my children are breathing this air. And that just makes me so mad alone. And then I hear the $7.7 trillion, and then I hear about this National Defense Act. I've had enough. I'm going.
Okay, well, you be safe. That's the important thing.
Just
okay, my friend. Be well. Let's go to Anson, Queens, New York. Welcome to the show, and good morning, Anson.
George, hi.
Hey.
I have grave concerns about the geoengineering projects that's going on. Last Saturday morning, I was looking out my kitchen window, and I saw artificial clouds in the sky, being formed in the sky.
Hmm.
I called my brother to take a picture of it with his cell phone camera, and then we saw the plane fly overhead. Now, the reason I'm very angry is because they, whoever is responsible, and I know who, are not taking into concern the damage they're causing to the rivers, the water, to all life. All life forms.
What do you think's going on out there, Anson, first? Tell me, what do you think's happening?
I think it's basically a program to try and counteract the sun rays, to try and cool the planet. But as grave consequences to the planet, when they spread that in the air, and when it rains, that toxic chemicals, the aluminum and sulfur, goes into the rivers and the water.
Of course, yeah.
And affects the plant life. When you affect plant life, You affect all life. And, you know, it's basically this coming year, Mother Earth is going to fight back, and she needs to.
For all she will.
To her, yeah, she will fight back.
She will. Tell me about this plant, though, Anson. What's it look like? How do we know they're doing something there?
Well, basically, you see how the plants wilt, and it has, like, a different smell. And even when you look in the sky, when it rains now, you see it's very gray. It's very dark. And the sun has been covered. I looked yesterday. Today it rained, but yesterday morning, I looked at the clouds. It rained on and off. But when I looked up, I saw the sun covered, like, in the background of the clouds. You can tell they were real clouds. You can just look at it and tell that this is being sprayed every weekend. And over time, it's going to just gradually run down the place. And that's what I mean. It's just very, very imperative, important. I understand the protesters going out there for a cause, looking for another way to accomplish things. But this is more priority to me because it affects our planet. It affects everybody on the planet.
Oh, there's no doubt. And as you know, we've talked about these chemtrails for years on Coast to Coast. We'll continue to do that. Something's going on. Nobody's ever come forward and admitted it. Came close. Had a pilot that called us once, said he was spraying. Weather manipulation, I think, primarily. Let's go next to Florida. Thomas is with us on the wildcard line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Thomas.
Well, thank you for taking my call, George.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I hear you're listening to the protesters and everybody in the country is.
Yeah, that's true.
The real bottom line is, think about it, entitlements. The government sends out I don't know how many millions of dollars to millions of people every month. John Kennedy said, that's not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you, or vice versa.
Vice versa.
So what I'm saying is, what would it be on a voluntary basis for people to get a government check every month and send it back if they didn't need it or if they were worth what they received it for, if they actually perform something to get the funds?
Well, I agree. But, you know,
honest
the biggest
days work for honest days dollar.
No doubt about that. I think that if we have entitlement money, we should have people doing things that help society, whether it's cleaning up roads or whatever. One of the problems, though, with all of this is the fact that they have seen the Occupy Wall Street folks who are now occupying various cities, they have seen the waste of money. They have seen what has happened to big banks. They have seen what Wall Street has done, and they're ticked off about it. And I don't know if what they're doing is right or wrong right now. You know, I've never been one to protest. I'm the kind of person to go on the air and just say it. I've been fortunate to be in this position to be able to do this all my life. A lot of people don't have that ability to be a voice. So this is what they do. They protest. I don't like the fact that you have to sleep in a tent and occupy that to get a message across. I think you can protest, go home, and come back and protest again. You might remember the story of John Teeter, the time traveler. Maybe it's time to get Oliver Williams back on the program. John Teeter predicted, if he was indeed a time traveler, that this country would see civil unrest. And I think a lot of people laughed at him when he did this back in the early 2000 years. But now, look what's happening. It's all over the place. I predicted this during the Arab Spring. I said it would happen here. And in a different way, it has. Next up, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Mary in Austin, Texas. Hey, Mary, home of Alex Jones.
Hi. Honey, I don't know why anyone is not thinking about Edgar Cayce. He had two maps. One is for the United States, and the other is a world map. But what it does is it shows the changes to the topographical. So when you're saying you don't know what's going to be happening, all you have to do is refer to the maps and you see which ones have the disturbances, which ones are underwater and all of that.
Those maps are disturbing too, Mary. Aren't they scary?
Yes and no. I love Brian Weiss and the book Only Love Is Real. And I've explored past lives many times. And the one thing you need to know is you never lose anyone you love. They always come back. And I'm going to get off so that others can talk. But there are those maps.
All right. Well, we've talked about the maps before and Edgar Cayce's work. And I think Edgar's one of the greatest predictors of all times. Let's go to Rancho Santa Margarita in California. Trevor's waiting for us. Hi, Trevor.
Hello, George. Thanks for letting me on the program.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling.
I have to talk about my fear of mirrors. It started when my father died. He died in 2005. And basically, every time I get in front of a mirror, I see there's these horrific images. If you ever seen the movie Jacob's Ladder?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's that. Basically, it's been with me for a while, and it prevents me from getting too much into the direct path of a mirror. However, I have no problems getting in front of mirrors in a mind game that I play. I have like a sort of mind game where I run through the basic tasks of life and the unknown from that. But let's say I need to go to a department store. Let's call the department store the Mirror Maze Department Store.
Sure, and there are mirrors everywhere, right?
Yeah, there's tons of them. Okay, basically, now if you go through the department store regularly, it seems easy and quick. But because of my fear of mirrors, my accessibility is far limited. Now, all right, I have to avoid. The flat ones. I use a technique I call angle bisection. Now, this method, it works, but you get in a position that's close to the mirror's path. Do you understand? Do you follow?
I'm with you. Yeah.
Close to the mirror's path, and then you look what's in the mirror, and then you find the object shown in the mirror, map its position, then you bisect the angle, you know, split it in half.
Well, what are the things that you have been seeing in mirrors?
When I actually look into a mirror, which I try to avoid.
I duck the bathroom
or something. I cover up some mirrors, but when I do see something, it's my father was a cowboy, like the real deal cowboy, not movie cowboy.
Right.
And I see he used to wear a hat and he smoked cigars, and I see this menacing face that he's making. And he was always nice to me. He never tried to punch or hit me or be mean or anything like that, but he's making like a really menacing face, and he's mouthing the words "Trevor die."
Jeez.
And
maybe it's not him, Trevor. Maybe it's something else that is creating the image of him.
Trying to be my father.
Trying to trick you, yeah.
Well, why would that? I don't know why that would happen. Do you?
I don't think, not knowing your father, but if he's the kind of guy that you say he was, I don't think his spirit would come back and haunt you this way. I think
maybe
it's
he had a dark side.
Well, maybe he had a dark side, but you didn't see it, did you?
No, I didn't. But maybe he's actually trying to show me his dark side from the other side.
I would think more that there's some creature out there, some demon, that for some reason wants to harass you and is using an image that you've always cared about.
Well, and I've never done a poor thing to another person in my life.
No, I used to sound like a nice guy. I mean,
well, I try to be. But I'm sorry.
I want to know if this is affecting your life. I mean, you know, you go into the bathroom.
Yeah,
there's mirrors everywhere. How do you hide from them?
I had to put up sheets or mirrors because I'm not going to break them. Because if you break a mirror, then it turns into.
Well, then you got your 7 years of bad luck, right?
No, I mean it turns into a lot of other mirrors. So mirrors on the floor.
So you put sheets over all the mirrors in your house?
I have to, because if I break them, then there's going to be mirror shards everywhere. And then I see the image, and it's going to be like I have compound eyes, like a dragonfly or something.
Have you talked to some professionals about this?
I've talked to my therapist about it. She thinks I'm crazy.
Does she tell you that outright?
She didn't actually say that. She says things that kind of hint at that. She wants me to get a pet, and I don't know what that has to do with anything. How that's gonna help? She said that I should get a pet and then hold the pet, preferably a cat, look into a mirror with the pet and see if the image is still there.
Let me ask you, Trev, how old are you?
Me? I'm 25 years old.
All right, you're 25. How long has this been going on?
This has been going on since 2005 when my father died.
Just when he died?
It happened after he died. It was a really sudden moment. See, I was going into the kitchen, and there's a big old it's an antique mirror that used to be exposed, but I covered it up, of course. And I went into the kitchen, you know, and I was, of course, grieving. I go to the fridge. I grab myself a Pepsi, and then I look into the mirror.
And there he is.
He's there. It's obviously my father. He looks just like him. And then the menacing look comes on. His mouth, okay, his jaw sort of like gets longer than it would. When you're talking about demons, I get this image in my head of a jaw going down all the way to his belly button.
See, what we need to do, and first of all, believe me, I don't think it's your father. I think you're seeing something else. Whatever it is, what we need to do is to get this to stop. So you can move on with your life. I got to believe this has affected relationships and everything else for you, hasn't it?
I actually lost a girlfriend because she thought that I was a whack job, but I don't think I'm crazy. Do you think I'm crazy? I mean, that don't sound crazy.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I think there's something going on in your life that's bothering you. That might be contributing to what you see. Look, Trevor, whether it's there or not, you believe it's there. And that's the important thing. And, you know, I don't care what people tell you, whether it's not there. If you think it's there, it's there.
Yeah, your life is based on perception.
So what I'm going to do is put you on hold, and I'm going to have Will give you the web address of Joshua P. Warren. I'll give it to you, too. It's joshuapwarren.com. Joshua is an expert, Trevor, on mirrors. I want you to email him. He's a friend of the show, and he'll help you out. We'll take care of the call. We'll be back with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, when we come right back, it'll be our final segment tonight of Open Lines. Don't forget, Richard C. Hoagland, our special guest tomorrow. Full program with Richard C., and we've got a great group of programs and guests for you for the rest of the week as well. And so let's come right back and take final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast and open line calls we go. Ken in Epping, New Hampshire. Thanks for holding so long, Ken. You're up with us.
Hey, it's nice to talk to you, George. You do a nice job as always.
Thank you, sir.
I was just going to say to you, you know, I mean, no one looks at themselves, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that took refinance money when they knew their houses weren't worth what they were and went and spent on frivolous things, or maybe they just put their kids through college. But, I mean, there's a lot to blame on the American public as well, you know?
Absolutely. Money became too easy. It was too fast. You know, maybe they wanted that other car. Who knows what they wanted? But look, the blame goes both ways. I don't think, you know, the mortgage companies did what they did and people took the money. Nobody bent their arm and twisted it.
Oh, absolutely. And I also feel that, you know, I listen to you all the time and I listen to people that you have as speaking. And I never hear anyone really say that, you know, a lot of the restrictions with the EPA and a lot of the toxic chemicals that goes into making these products. The reason why they were outsourced overseas is because they are so toxic by their byproducts and everything else. I mean, for us to make the things that we consume here in the U.S. as far as plastic, toys, everything else, I mean, for us just to produce some of these things, we would be destroying our own environment, you know? That's why it went overseas.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Thanks. you know, it's a bigger problem than a lot of us know. And let's hope slowly we start digging our way out of it. You know, the economy, it was a little robust. I mean, Black Friday was great. Cyber Monday was good. You know, people are out there spending money. Let's go to Sean in Toronto, Canada. Hi, Sean. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
Sure. Good, Sean.
I have a story I wanted to share in regards to the previous guest he had on mass consciousness.
Sure.
Remember what she said about last Thursday would be a date that where people would, the truth would surface within them and, mm-hmm. you know, the period would begin to clear consciousness? Do you remember her mentioning that?
Yes.
Okay, well, for the longest time, I feel like I've been in this circle where, you know, I can't get out. I'm doing the same thing over and over again, and, you know, hoping, expecting different results. I wouldn't really call it depression, but, you know, just stuck in a funk. And I couldn't really put a finger on it. You know, I sort of questioned myself, is it my motivation? Am I motivated? Because, you know, I have days where I would be motivated. The next day, you know, I just didn't want to do anything. So finally, last Thursday, I decided to go find help. I found this spiritual healer. And it's funny because I've known him for like a year, but you know, I was a skeptic. I didn't, you know, believe in any of that stuff. So I went to him and he told me that, you know, I had an evil spirit with me, and it's been with me for, you know, almost my entire life, because apparently, you know, someone had tried to put, you know, an evil spell on my family years ago, and it got to me.
Oh.
So, yeah. And so, you know, he gave me some holy water and, you know, candles, and told me to, you know, light this and light that. And, you know, just, he gave me a little cross and said, you know, pray with this. And it's been like four or five days. And since then, George, you know, things, they're looking really good. I kind of be honest. And, you know, I guess my message for people is just have faith. You know, I wasn't one that had it. I did have it when I was younger. But then, you know, somewhere along the way, I just lost it. But now that I got it back, George, you know, you're just going to run with it and don't look back. It's, you know, I meditate now. I do.
Tell me about the curse, if you would, Sean. What was it for?
Well, my parents grew up in a small village in Eastern Europe. And there's a lot of, you know, black magic that goes, you know, that goes a lot over there. And apparently he didn't tell me specifics. He just said that a long time ago, maybe even before I was born, that someone wished out upon my family and it got to me. So I like he said, the spirit, the evil spirit would come in and out. I was younger. And that explained why I would have such bizarre dreams when I was a kid of, you know, like evil spirits or something just taking me in. But
well, you gotta keep fighting that for sure. You know, it's unfortunate that whatever this curse was overlaps on into innocent people. Vicky is in Hollywood and on Coast to Coast. Hey, Vicky, what's going on out there?
Oh, well, I just called with a comment. I have a pending case against the city for freedom of speech. And in my research, this is Vicky 555, the one who likes to research. I talked to your numbers lady.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, it's completely unconstitutional for them to hold a lottery to pick a limited amount of media people to cover this event at Occupy. And that's why they were at Dodger Stadium, because they were holding an illegal lottery trying to limit the amount of coverage that was going to be at this event that's going on right now.
What do you think of this entire situation, Vicky?
Well, you know, there's a lot of validation for it, but there's not enough organization. And, you know, as far as the students, a lot of people are getting their medical cut and their disability checks cut so that illegals can go to school for free. And they're raising the tuition for U.S. citizens. So I really feel it for the students who are protesting against the outrageous amount of money they have to pay to go to school when illegal aliens get free school. That doesn't
well, we should have a better school system in terms of cost. It's ridiculous. It's out of line. There's no doubt about that. I think what all this is it's just something I've been talking about for well over a year, and that is this frustration, this feeling, this strangeness. And I think it's hitting everybody, and people are reacting the way they think they have to. Let's go to Jim in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hello, George. Nice talking to you. First time caller.
Good.
The frustration is this, that we as Americans and we as working class, we cannot afford to send our kids to college because tuition has gone sky high. But in other industrialized nations, education is free. People get the time off for pregnancies. You know, they get time off and are paid for it. We're in a situation where it basically takes two incomes to make it just make ends meet anymore. And we see these rich people, they're sitting up there on their yachts and laughing and having a good time. I don't begrudge people who make money, and I'm happy for them. All I want is a little piece of this pie also.
And as long as you work for it, which it sounds like you do, governments need to at least say one thing, and that is we want to make this country, this planet, better for people who are here. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, Jim. Everybody should be entitled to that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, why can't we have medical care, medical coverage? I mean, France has it. Canada has it. I have a friend that came down and she got a splinter in her hand. And she was shocked when she went into the hospital to get it removed. They expected her to pay up front. You know, she hasn't paid for a medical bill all her life. But anyway, I just wish everybody who's actually working would realize that they're part of the 99% also, and the police that are evacuating these occupied places, they're just the dogs that the rich people are sicking on us to get us to move out. And the news media is not covering it. Did you see Time Magazine?
Oh, yeah.
And every other country has got revolution on the front of the cover, and not here in the United States. We're not getting the voice, and because the rich people don't want to hear, don't want the rest of the country to hear the word, because that might cause even more of people.
Yep. It's a simple formula. I think most people just want to be comfortable and happy. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be extravagant. We just need a nice little place to live, have a nice little car to have, and take care of our families, and, you know, just to be able to do some things once in a while and have a good vacation. I think that's all people really want. And life goes by too darn fast. Folks, I've got to tell you, I've looked at the clock in my own life, and, you know, I think I'm on the last quarter of it. And I don't know where the time went. I mean, I have cherished and relished every day of my life, but I don't know where the time went. It goes too fast. So I'm convinced that governments have made a fatal mistake, and they should simply, and these candidates, none of them has come forward with the real plan. I like Ron Paul, but I mean, all of them need to say, we care about you. We're going to try to make life comfortable for you. And, you know, if we started doing this planetary wide, things would get better. I mean, I'm still convinced that there's that group that wants to upend everybody, and that they're still out there. I think if all terrorism went away, just went away, that group would create terrorism just to keep us on edge. That's the unfortunate part about all this. Let's go to Nick in Portland, Oregon. Hey, go ahead, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you. Hey, listen,
thanks.
I have been wondering for years if you remember a caller from you that had called in years ago about this guy. He was talking about a dream that he had. I'm not sure if it was on Ghost to Ghost. It was some open line thing. And he was talking about this dream he had about this bear. And I've been wondering about it for years, if you have ever heard back from this guy or not. And he was telling you that he had this dream when he was like 6 years old, and this bear was coming up behind him, and every time it was finally, he would wake up. Mom, he would wake up, and then 10 years exactly to the day, he would have the same dream again.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
Do you remember that, George?
Yeah, I
and,
do.
And it was like then he was 26, and then 36. And he talked about this bear. And the last time, the bear got closer and closer, and he said that he could feel the heat and the breath off this bear's off of the back of his neck. And he finally woke up again. And then I was just wondering if you had ever heard back from this guy.
Well, he'd be coming up on his next 10 years pretty soon, wouldn't he?
That's why I'm calling you, George, because I wonder if you've ever heard back from this guy. Because I'll tell you what, I was homeless at the time, and I was always tuning in. I go back to dreamland.
Okay,
I go way back, and I
who's yelling in the background? Who's yelling in the background?
My girlfriend is squawking in the background. I'm sorry. She's trying to tell me to make sure I say it right. But you know, I tell you what, it's always freaking out because it was one of the most chilling stories I've ever heard off your show. And I've heard all from Robin and everything, you know, that he tells a great story. This is one of the most chilling stories, and I got chills on my back.
See, I think as he was telling us that story, that the bear was death. And
do
as
you
it got
that story?
Yeah. Yep.
And
as it got
as
it got closer to him, he was going to get close to death. But let me take a few more calls before the clock gets us and say hi to your girlfriend for us. Roderick, patrolling in South Carolina. Hey, Roderick.
Hey there, how are you doing, George?
Okay, what are you patrolling? What are you doing?
I am a park ranger for the Chester National Park in Chester, South Carolina.
So you walk around at night all by yourself?
Yes, sir, and we have two Indian burial grounds as well as a shooting range and some other spooky stuff going on. Plus, we have a Revolutionary War battlefield here and a Civil War battlefield here.
I bet you've seen some strange things out there, Ron.
Some fun things. I mean, yeah. I ain't scared of nothing. Good Lord on my side, got no fear. But I do gotta say this though.
All right.
The economy wise, I got family on both sides of the economy. I got a rich grandfather who works for the DOD. And ever heard of Remick?
Yeah.
My grandfather is the C in Remick.
Okay. He's doing real well then.
Very well. And my other grandfather, they're both served in the military. Grandfather Bowman was in the Army, the Remick guy. Other grandfather served in the Air Force for 20-some-odd years. Worked for ROAR down in Chula Vista, San Diego, California.
Okay.
ROAR is now out of business in the United States. They've moved on over yonder. The plant where it used to be, the plant is still there.
What did they make, by the way?
Military aircraft. Aircraft for the Boeing, aircraft for the C-47. He made some Hercules parts, just a bunch of different parts, right?
All right.
Galaxy parts. I tell you, the economy is taking a turn, and it's affecting everybody from all the way down. My grandfather retired from that plant. Oh, man, I was about 12 years old when he retired from there.
Is he still alive? Are they both alive?
They're both very alive, and my grandfather Bowman, what he told me is we're living on our World War II reputation as a powerful nation, as a rich, powerful nation. We no longer have that power.
No, that's true. That is absolutely true.
You know, for instance,
we got to get it back. We can get it back, right?
Yes, we can. And me, myself, 8 years in the Marine Corps, injured in combat, I've heard a lot of things while I was overseas. I was in Djibouti, Africa, Kuwait, Afghanistan, Italy, France, and Greece. I know, just name some of the countries. But I tell you what, I hear that the enemy is not just overseas. They're in Mexico. They're coming in to the United States through the coyotes. My uncle, who God bless his soul, he just died about 2 weeks ago. He told me they're coming in with the coyotes. When he do stops, like a van or a trailer full of, Mexicans, some of them didn't even speak English. They spoke Arabic. They spoke Iraq. They spoke Farsi, Jordanian. These guys are coming up from the South.
Of course they are. You know, we've known about that. We've talked about that. for years now. And look, I'm a proponent. I just want everybody to know, I think legal immigration is important to a country. It built the United States, and it's important that you let people in who want a better life. You screen them, of course. You don't want to get all these criminals in or anything like that. But, you know, illegals, you got to have control over your country, folks. I mean, illegal is legal. Illegal, it's against the law. That's what it is. And so many other people just say, no, just let everybody in. You can't do that. That's the unfortunate part. As heartbreaking as it is for the hardworking ones that want to come up here and just make some money so they can send it back home. Anyways, we're almost out of time here. We did open lines because of the situation in Los Angeles, which so far seems to be relatively under control. There have been some arrests, and let's keep our fingers crossed that when we wake up in the morning, everybody has dissipated and things are okay. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudisour, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.